Now, this series of teachings has been all about discovering the true meaning and the purpose of life. Now, we've established, dear ones, that God has a purpose for your life. And we're going to talk about one today that people may not really recognize as a purpose that God has for their lives. And I think today what I want to do, before I even share the word with you, I want to pray for you. I think the one I'm going to talk about today is one that a lot of people struggle with. And I'm going to talk about your purpose, which I really believe is your second purpose. Once you come to Christ, you need to get some connection going. You need to get connected with the body of Christ. Can I hear a good amen on that? It's so true. I want to pray. Lord, I pray right now for every one of us who are here today. Some will be viewing this by radio or by the internet, and some by the radio. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you open our hearts up today, and that, Lord, that we don't just hear this message and then, Lord, ignore it by getting too busy or having too many other things going on in our lives. I pray your blessing would be on these words today. Help me, Lord, to convey what is on your heart today regarding your people in connection, in Jesus' name. And we've been talking about your purpose. How many of you know, just to kind of to recap a little bit, your primary purpose in life is to be a worshiper. And if you weren't here for that lesson, let me just tell you, listen, we have learned, studies reveal this and show us this, you will worship something, my friends. Every one of us, even though you hear it from sometimes from guys, they just say, you know, I'm not a worshiper. I don't get into that stuff. Every one of us is a worshiper. It's born in our DNA. But today I want to kind of go to a new phase of our study and talk about this idea of being formed for connection or being formed for God's family. Now I'm going to read a lot of verses today, and you may want to have a pen and a piece of paper handy and write these down. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says this, Christ makes us one body connected to each other. Now, I've used this illustration many times. You've probably heard it in other places. How many of you know if you take any one of your body parts and you remove them from your body and you completely get them out of the blood flow and out of the connection, what happens? That body part dies because it doesn't receive the nutrients. It doesn't receive the blood flow. It doesn't receive all the things that it needs to live. I want you to hear God's heart today. I want you to hear something about God that maybe you've not heard in a while. Did you know that God wants a family? God wants a family. And did you know this, that He created you and I to be a part of it? Now, I know when I kind of get into the first, if somebody think, well, I know all this, I understand this, but you know what? I want it to become a fresh revelation of what God wants and how this is tied into our purpose, and how that it really can make a huge difference in your life when you begin to understand these things. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says, God is the one who made all things and all things for His glory. Listen, He wanted to have many children share His glory. If you are a child of God, God wants you to share in His glory right now, not tomorrow, not next year, sometime in heaven. God wants you to share in His glory right now. Here's another verse for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, see how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us, listen to this, to be called His children, and we really are. Oh, I want this to become real to you today. I don't want it to just be words. I want it to go beyond the mind. Well, I understand I'm a child of God. I want it to go into your heart. And what I ultimately want it to do is to be a comfort to you in this hour that we're living in. Now, when I'm talking about connection, I'll state it again. We're talking about our second purpose in life. Folks, listen to me. When we lead someone to the Lord, or God put someone in our lives and we have the privilege of helping them find God, let me tell you, we cannot stop there. We have to help people find a way into connection and affiliation with the body of Christ. Now, I want you to think with me today about this. The entire Bible is this. It's the story of God building a family who will love Him. And not only love Him, but who will honor Him. And listen to this. And who will reign with Him forever. I know you understand this, but let me remind you. How many of you know this life is just the beginning of our walk and our journey with God? We're going to reign with Him forever and forever and forever. How many of you know this? Sometimes families have a few problems. Any of you, come on, you can just look at me. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to respond in the affirmative. But how many of you know families sometimes have problems? How many of you know spiritual families sometimes have problems? I mean, you got people, you sometimes have problems. But here's a story to illustrate what I'm talking about. Some kids talked their mother into getting a hamster, and everyone agreed to the acquisition as long as the children took care of their new pet named Danny. Within 2 months, the little rat would have died had moms, not assumed full responsibility for his care. She then decided that it was time to give Danny a new owner and called the children in to break the news. One child commented, "I'll miss him. He's been around a long time." The mother agreed, "Yes, but he's too much work for me, so he needs to go." Another child suggested he might be able to stay if he ate less and wasn't so messy. But mom was firm and said, "Let's go. It's time to take Danny to his new home." Then in unison, the kids all wailed, "Danny, we thought you were talking about Daddy." Any of you dads ever felt that way? You're a little too much trouble? And maybe you were a little too messy? Listen to me, beloved. Because God is love, He treasures relationships. Oh, I'm just praying as I'm sharing this with you today. This is going to go beyond the mind, and this is going to go down in your spirit. Listen to this. God's very nature is relational, and He identifies Himself in family terms. How many of you know this about God? God is relational. And boy, this goes right in the face of what we're encountering in our world right now. And I'm not even going to spend time to elaborate on that. But how many of you know He refers to Himself in relational terms? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all one. They're all in relationship. But you need to know this. God didn't need a family. He desired one. God didn't have something to say, "Hey, I've got to have this family." He desires one. So what did He do? He came up with a plan to create us, create human beings, and to bring us into His family and share all that He has with us. I pray today that you get a new glimpse that not only does God want you in His family, but that you understand He wants to share everything He's got with us. That is good news today, because if you've turned on the bad news lately, you know it's all doom and gloom. But I do have some good news for you. God wants you in His family, and He wants to share all that He's got with you. How do you know when God does this, this gives Him great pleasure? Please today, don't see or envision God as just tight-fisted, and now that they're talking about a double-dip recession, that suddenly God's hands are tied, and that God sometimes becomes like us and says, "Okay, it's tight, let's draw back." God's not drawing back, folks. You know who's drawing back? Sometimes we draw back in doubt and unbelief. God, listen. Hey, folks, listen. Whether you believe it or not, we're of a different species than all those people that watch the bad news and then order their lives after the bad news. We are the children of God. Amen? He didn't need a family, but He wanted one. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "It was a happy day for Him when He gave us our new lives. Though the truth through the truth of His Word, and we became, as it were, the first children in His new family." I think sometimes we don't think of church as a family. We just kind of think of individuals coming together, and hopefully we get exhorted, and hopefully something good comes out of our time together. But folks, let me tell you, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, here's what happens. God becomes our Father. We become His children. Listen to this. Other believers become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family. That's good news. With all the loneliness and all the isolation that we're seeing in the lives of people, sure, The things get messed up from time to time. I know even in Christian communities they get messed up. You know why? You know why the church gets messed up sometimes? Because it's got messed up people in it. But you know what? God has told us how to handle every messed up situation. We just don't do what God says when the mess comes. He's told us what to do. He's told us how to work through everything. First and foremost, He's told us to do with our fellow brothers and sisters when there's some mess in the house, that we're to forgive them just as He has forgiven us. And then He goes on, knowing that it's not our tendency to do that. He says, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. And it's not a retaliation thing. It's an understanding that God knows if He doesn't put a little heat on us and help us understand that forgiveness is a big key in any relationship. Poor old dad in this story. He had a little problem there. Can you imagine trying to get over that? The whole family's rejected me. They're throwing me out. I'm too messy. I've got problems. How do you enter God's family? Beloved, do not take for granted that the people in your world and in the circle you are in understand how you get in God's family. Especially with all the different voices and all that's being told us today. How is it that you become a part of God's family? Well, first you have to understand you are born into the human family by your first birth. But you become a member of God's family, how? Through your second birth. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, "For it is His boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members of God's own family." Do I get to heaven and do I become a part of God's family by being a really good person? The answer is absolutely no. Do I get in God's family by doing a lot of good deeds every day? And if I don't use foul language and I don't do all those things that everybody else does, is that how I get in God's family? Absolutely not. But a lot of people do not understand that. How do you get in God's family? You get in God's family by absolutely putting faith in Jesus Christ. Where does the faith come? The faith God will give you when God sees you're turning your heart toward Him. God will put the faith in your heart. He will give you that measure of faith to cause you to be born again. And then you are born into God's family. And how many of you know that this invitation to become a part of God's family is universal? But there are conditions. It's faith in Jesus. It's putting your faith in Jesus and trusting Him as Lord and Savior. Now, I know many of you know that, but not everybody in our world knows that today. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. He says, "You are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Now, our families on earth are a wonderful gift from God most of the time. Amen? They really are. But how many of you know this? They are temporary. And how many of you know they are fragile? And they're often broken by divorce and other problems. They become distant. And listen, I don't even like to talk about it. But how many of you know they grow old? I'm growing older. And I don't like it. I don't like the challenges that it presents. And somebody said, "Well, wait a few more years." And I know what people mean by that. And how many of you know the God who saves us is the same God that's going to see us on through all of our years? Can I hear an amen on that? But the reality is, folks, families are fragile. And families, I don't know how else to say it, there's problems and they develop distance and some have to move and all kinds of things. I don't like that. I like being near family. And I'll tell you something else I like. I like being near the family of God. I want the family of God to be close, and I want the family of God to be near. And I don't like the way our society's become so mobile. I don't like it when somebody says, "My job's moving, and I got to move across the country." I don't like it. I do not like it after I've built relationship with people. I don't like it when, you know, sometimes people say, "Hey, we've got to go so-and-so, or we got to go somewhere else." It really, really hurts my heart. But how many of you know there are benefits of being in God's family? The Bible says this in Galatians 4 and 7. He says, "Since you are His children, everything He has belongs to you." Now I want to slow down for just a moment. In the middle of all this craziness that's going on in our world right now. And by the way, folks, it is not an accident that you and I live in this time. You know, sometimes you hear people fantasize, man, I wish, you know, the 50s were the good old days, or the 60s, or whatever. Well, that's history now. And it is not an accident. Did we not learn about that in the beginning of this series, that you are not an accident? If you're not an accident, that means the time you live in is not an accident. Amen? Where you live is not an accident. You may not be happy with it. You may be kind of resisting it. But let me tell you, it is not an accident. Where you attend church is not an accident. Where you work is not an accident, if indeed you believe that God is the one that orders your steps. But I'll tell you this. There are benefits in belonging to God's family. And I believe people are going to start realizing that more and more and more as we enter into these days that we're in. Did you hear what this verse said? Did you hear what I just read to you? How many of you know that a bad economy doesn't affect the blessing of God in your life? Let me just strengthen some of you right now and tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's been speaking to me about this and reminding me of these truths. I'll just go ahead and be real bold. I intend on being blessed. I intend on prospering in these days. By the way, the Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If He owns the cattle, he owns the hills. By the way, it says He owns the gold and the silver. It's no problem for God to get money to me or whatever I need or whatever He needs to do in my life to cause me to be blessed. But you need to understand, when you're part of God's family, everything this verse says that He has belongs to you. Did you know that the New Testament gives great emphasis to our rich inheritance? Here's what Philippians 4:19 says. It says, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And if you're looking to your employer as your provider, or your company, or your talents, or your efforts, you might be in trouble today. God says for the believer, and one of the benefits of being in His family is that God supplies all your needs according, listen to this, how? According to your employer, according to your job? No, according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? That's how you plug into the blessings of God. Come on, preacher, give me something a little deeper and a little more, you know, stronger than this. I need a little more. No. No, just get plugged into Christ. Get plugged into Him, and He says when you do that, He is going to meet every need you have. Folks, do you understand there is a drastic distinction between the believer in Christ and the person who doesn't acknowledge God or doesn't look to Him? Do you understand that? Jesus said that when you put first My kingdom and you seek first My kingdom, He said all these blessings are going to be on you. He said it this way. He said, not so with the unbeliever. He said they go out and they seek and they work and they strive and it ends up in total frustration. Beloved, just because people are wealthy, would you please understand that doesn't mean you're going to have peace. And it doesn't mean you're under the blessing of God. I've known people, and you heard me refer to some of these places in Mexico. I say this from time to time. I've been to some of these countries, and I, it's like one brother said, after you go to some of these countries, you got to come back and fast and pray so you won't have an attitude. I really have to guard myself when I come back, because you realize how blessed people are and how happy they are in some of these countries. We refer to them as third world countries. I don't want to disappoint you, but a lot of them are a lot happier than us. And they're more peaceful. And they're more family-oriented. And they don't have a whole lot. You know, in China, the church is telling us, don't pray for the persecution to be lifted off the Chinese church. Because it's the persecution that's made the church grow and grow and grow. No matter where you live in the world or who you are, if you are a child of God, let me just tell you, you are a part of God's economy. Are you hearing this today? Now, don't come to me right after the service and get back in doubt and say, and then start talking your problems. If we really believe this, we won't be talking economic problems. Did you hear what I said? We'll be talking faith. We'll be talking God's provision. I believe I'm a child of God. As long as I walk with God and do what God is telling me to do, there is going to be provision. I believe it's going to be in abundance. And there has ever since I've become a believer. Well, some say, well, that's just because you're a preacher. You know, the perks that come with being a preacher. I heard that this last, you know, the perks that come with being a preacher. Yeah, there are some perks. And there are some perks. Amen? Did you notice this verse? All your need. I think God likes to go beyond the need and give us some things that we desire. I believe that. But if we don't get the things we desire, we can know this. God is going to give us everything we need, and it's because we are connected to Christ. Now, as children of God, we get to share in the family fortune. I've said it, and I've said it enough, I think, but I've got it written down here. I'll say it again. How many of you know God is not having a recession right now? Folks, come on. Don't just amen that. Begin to believe it. And if you're struggling with fear and doubt, say, God is not having a recession right now. God is not having a recession right now. Amen? He's not. But here on earth, the Bible talks about all these things that we're going to be blessed with. It talks about the riches of His grace. By the way, folks, do you know when we talk about God's grace, we're talking about the enablement of God? How did the grace of God become something that is, you know, a license to not obey God and not do what God says? I'm telling you, that's not even in the Word. But what God's grace is, and it comes to us in abundance, the riches of His grace, comes to enable us in this hour to live successfully and to live prosperous and to live blessed and to live with our, if you will, to use the old saying, to live with our head above the water. In fact, we ought to be walking on the water instead of just trying to get by. Now that's what the riches of His grace will do for us. But not only that, He's given us His kindness, His patience, His glory, and His wisdom. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to you in great amounts of liberality. What about His mercy? All these things are granted to us. Why? Because we're in the family. Come on, turn to somebody and say, we're blessed because we're in the family. But let me tell you something else God has promised us right now. Because we're in the family, God has promised us provision, which we've talked about, and protection. Right now, if you are struggling with wondering about, you know, if you're going to be protected and watched over in this time, go read Psalms 91. Go read it. It talks about those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You go dwell in that place where God is, and it says that God covers you, and it says no evil will come nigh your dwelling. It talks about the power that you have to trample on all the forces of evil. There is a promise, not only of provision, but of protection with the Lord. And I like that. But how many of you know in eternity, we're going to inherit even more? Paul said this in Ephesians 1:18. He says, I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance He has given to His people. Now, folks, we're not only to think about this life. In fact, if you really study Scripture, I think we're cautioned against thinking about and striving in this life too much. Sure, you got to make a living. You've got to do life. You've got to do what's necessary to move on in this life. But let me tell you, our real goal should be the eternal inheritance that we're going to receive. Did you hear it? He says, I want you to realize, Ephesians 1:18, what a rich and glorious inheritance He has given to His people. Now, in this life, we're going to experience all these things that I've told you about, but that is just a small portion of what we're going to receive from God. It really begins and it starts with the promise of heaven. You know what keeps me going? You know what keeps me going? It's the promise of heaven. And can I be very real with you today? You know what keeps me going? You really want to know what keeps me going? It's the fear of missing heaven. There's nothing wrong, I don't care what you say, with having a healthy fear and reverence of God. In fact, we need more of that in this country and in this world. There's nothing wrong with a good, healthy fear and reverence of God of saying, you know what, if I just get out here and be Mr. Casual, kind of do my own thing and buy into this false sense of grace that's being preached all over this country and all over this world, if I buy into that, you know what? Something could happen one day and things might not go as planned. It gets really quiet when you start talking like that. But I'm like the writer of Hebrews. I believe for better things among us. Amen? I believe of better things for us. What motivates me? What keeps me going? It's the idea, it's the understanding that heaven is a real place and that there are riches that are stored up for me. What did Jesus say? He said, don't spend all of your energy and all of your life storing up riches in this life. He said, don't do it. If Jesus said don't do it, then there ought to be some balance in our life that says not everything I do every day should be about storing up wealth. Because let me tell you the danger of always trying to store up wealth. And listen, I know somebody say, oh, I'm not storing up wealth, man. I'm just trying to get by. No, you're trying to store up more than you realize. If that's all that my energies are devoted to, he warns us. He says, be very careful. If you do that, let me tell you what can happen. You will end up serving one master over the other. And folks, if Jesus says you can't serve two masters, guess what? You can't do it. I so believe in the prosperity of God's people. I believe. Cut me open and look and see what's in my spirit. I believe in the prosperity and the blessing of the Lord on His people. But I also believe if you get things out of priority and that's all you start pursuing, let me just tell you what the Bible says and what experience has taught me. You will eventually go off track and you will find yourself somewhere someday where you don't even realize you've gone to. Folks, do we realize how subtle the enemy is? You hear the illustration and we laugh at it, but we don't recognize it. He doesn't come in a red suit with a pitchfork. Even around Halloween, he didn't do that, except in a costume, and say, hey, friend, I'm here to deceive you. I'm here to lead you down a wrong path. He just doesn't do it. He's very subtle, and he'll take 30 years if he needs to do it. A little here, a little there. And besides, to balance all this that's going on in our world, in our country, James says, you rich, you have stored up all your riches in the last days to only be destroyed by moths and to be taken away by thieves. There is a balance somewhere in the way we strive for things in the natural. He says, listen, he says, when you're in the family, you don't have to always be striving for wealth and riches. He said, not so for the Gentiles or the unbelievers. Do you see and understand the difference between you and I and the unbeliever? Do you see it? Do you really hear what I'm saying to you today? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says this. God has reserved a priceless inheritance for His children. It is kept in heaven for you. Listen, where is it? It's in heaven, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Oh, I pray you're hearing what I'm saying today. How many of you know that no one can take it away from you and it can't be destroyed by war or a poor economy or even by natural disaster? We're talking about our inheritance in Christ. And it is not just a spiritual inheritance. It has to do with our financial well-being and economics and everything else. This is an eternal inheritance. You still love me? It's not retirement that we should be working for or looking forward to. It's this eternal inheritance. Come on, beloved. If you've gotten off track, recognize with me what really is a priority. If you want to retire, that's fine. Just keep a balance in life about it. Don't get away from God. Don't start listening to those strange voices that are telling you you can break God's laws and do what you want to and still be blessed. Why is it that the flesh tells each of us as individuals we can do what somebody else can't do and there'll be no consequences for us? Because the flesh lies. I can do this. I can abuse my body. I can go out here and chase the almighty dollar every day of my life or worry about these things, and I'm not going to be affected like those other people, those poor people. Folks, do you understand the flesh? And the Bible says, and I'm moving on after this, by God's grace, I'm moving on. James talks about how then the enemy comes. When the enemy starts seeing these things, he said, we can only be enticed by those things that are in us. You know, God never tempts anybody. And the devil will only come to tempt what's already in us. See, that puts the responsibility on me. Doggone it. No, he came. What Flip Wilson used to say? Young people, I'm sorry. The devil made me do it. No, the flesh. The flesh that is fallen is highly deceptive and will deceive you and I. Now, folks, let me just tell you, our life's greatest privilege is being in the family of God. Hebrews 2 and 11 says, Jesus and the people He make holy all belong to the same family. That is why He isn't ashamed to be called their brothers and their sisters. Do you hear what I am saying? Some of you so beat yourself up every day of the week. I'm no good, and I just don't have anything to offer, and nobody likes me, and everything is this, and everything is that. And God is saying that you have the privilege of being called His brother and sister. What did Jesus say one day when He was preaching, and His family came along and said, now, Jesus, you need to just calm down a little bit. Jesus, calm down. You're getting too radical. Calm down. The family wants to have a meeting outside. And Jesus said, the family? Why, this is my family. These are my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters, the family of God. This is the family of God. I want to know what we're going to do about it. I want to know what we're going to do about it. I want to know if we're going to take the family of God seriously. I want to know if it's going to become a revelation to us of who we are and what God really wants the family to do. How many of you know when God thinks about His family, He really gets happy? He gets happy. He's not sad today. God is happy about His family. Are you hearing me? You ought to put your hand on the heart and say, I'm the family of God. I'm going to tell you, this is kind of the message that after a while, this is when it's going to really start sinking into your spirit. You're going to realize, hey, I'm the family of God. Ooh, I need to act like the family of God. I can't being the family of God. I want to honor my Father and represent Him. Therefore, that means there are just some things I can't do. Though I may want to, there are just some things I can't do. I want to bring honor to God by doing what God tells me to do in life. I want to be a good example to this world because I'm going to spend a few years in this life and then I'm going to go spend billions and billions and billions of years in eternity. Folks, let me tell you, this is what really counts right now. Come on, I want to be as real with you as I know how to be. There are a lot of things that my flesh craves. There are a lot of material things I want. And when I'm not walking in the Spirit, my flesh not only says, you want these things, but my flesh says, you deserve them. And if you entertain that long enough, you know what you'll do? You'll go make it happen or try to make it happen. Quite frankly, I don't want to be picking on America. That's what America's been doing. We want more. We want more and we want more. We want more. Well, payday has come. And I'm not talking about the kind of payday you eat that's got the nice little candy inside and all the nuts on the outside. But we're different. We're the children of God. So we don't have to go the way of the world. Jesus is my brother. And He, for those of you who are sisters, He's your brother too. You're in the family of God. Now you know what we really are talking about in this series? We're talking about discovering your purpose. Beloved, listen to me. You were born for connection. You were born for the family of God. God did not have to create you. What are you doing about the family? Are you helping the family represent God well? If not, I want to encourage you to do that. Why are we so big on small groups? Why are we so big on trying to get people connected? Because I understand, and it's a revelation to me, that we are the family of God. And I understand from what God's Word says and from experience, if people do not get connected, things just don't work out in their lives. It just doesn't work out. That's why we're so big on small group ministry. And I really, really, really pray that God would help me this week. You stop and think about it. God takes a bunch of dysfunctional people. Some of you go, not me. If you're born in this earth, you've got some dysfunction. And He says, now I want you to get together and be functional families. Now I'm going to probably preach just a little bit this morning. I yearn for the family to come together. I'm going to read a verse to you this morning that I haven't read in this church in years. But before I read it, I'm going to say this to you, beloved. What some of you fail to understand is that you are absolutely so vitally needed in the lives of other people. You have so much to offer. Will you let me be real again with you this morning? I understand your hurt. More than you know. I understand your pain. I understand how difficult it can be dealing with Christians. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that a man isolates himself to his own harm. In the name of Jesus, I beseech you, brethren, stop isolating yourself from one another. You are harming yourself. And you know as well as I do, when we isolate ourselves, harm comes out of that. Folks, you understand when we isolate the enemy, when he gets us off by ourselves, and he gets us isolated, that's when the most damage can happen. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now let me be real, and I just want to be sensitive here and preach. I understand your pain. I understand the hurt and pain that you can go through in church. No, you don't. You're a preacher. Oh, hey. I know a whole lot more about that than you know, just to be quite frank with you. But I'm not going to let what the devil tries to do keep me from being what I know that I need to be, and that is connected and in relationship. How can I say that? I hope y'all don't understand. I just upset at everybody. Let me just tell you, some of the most dysfunctional people, and I love them dearly, is preachers. Preachers are so insecure. I'll say something. Well, you need to go talk to your preacher's friend. Let me tell you, preachers are so insecure and dysfunctional. It's like if you find out they've got any problems or things aren't going right in their church, they clam up. They don't want to talk about how's everything. Great, man. Great, great. And they're dying. But guess what? The sheep aren't any different either. Dysfunction is not of God, folks. And God is saying, I need my people to, in spite of their dysfunctional ways, which really, that's just a new term for sin, just in spite of their sinful ways, I need them to get together and be functional so the world can see that in spite of problems and mistakes, people can still get together and get something done for God. That's what the world really needs to see. Right now, doesn't the world need to see some unity? Doesn't the world need to see some oneness? So I'm asking you to be very real with me. What keeps you isolated? Why are you remaining isolated? There's a lot of different reasons. I've been hurt. Some of you have been abandoned by parents. You may have even been abandoned by a pastor. You may have been abandoned by a partner. I understand the hurt, and so does God. But when do we rise above that and say, in God's name, in the name of Jesus, with those glorious riches that He gives me, all that He gives me, I'm going to use that for connection. You have so much to offer. And the problem is we focus on ourselves. I understand this. But can I be real with you again? If you knew the spiritual battles that I go through to preach about connection, if you had one inkling and understood it, you'd know why I really would prefer not to do it. It's not saying poor old me. This infuriates the devil. But yet, we listen to his voice. It says, I don't have time for connection. I don't have time for this. You do have time. And I'm making an appeal from the heart of God to you today. The church of the Lord Jesus needs his people to connect. And those of you who are viewing us by the internet today, thank you for tuning in. But you make sure you're getting connected with a local church. Wherever you're viewing this, your church needs you. The church of the Lord Jesus needs you. And you can be a blessing. And you have great gifts to offer to the body of Christ. I want to read this verse to you. And I've been just waiting until the Lord says it's okay to read. Hebrews 13 and 17, and I'm reading it from the New Testament, from the New Living Translation. It says, obey your spiritual leaders. The New King James says, and submit to them. And do what they say. Here's the reason. Not because they're the big shot that gets up on Sundays and has the high position in the church. I'm just like you, I just have a different calling. But the writer of Hebrews to this church that was drifting and drifting away from God, he says, obey your spiritual leaders, submit to them. And here's the reason why. This is where most people just treat preachers real casual today. When they don't understand, when they make their little remarks, and they don't understand, and I'm trying to encourage people everywhere. You just make your little comments about preachers. There's a heart in them that cares for you and cares for connection and cares for God's reputation. He says this, their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. I am accountable to God for watching over this congregation and going to my prayer time and hearing what God is saying. And I've been preaching this for quite a few years now. And I'm hoping the vision is clear that we need to be connected because we've got a lot to offer. And because God said do it. Does it always have to be for our benefit? God said do it. God said do it. Jesus said, let me show you the example. I'm going to get 12 guys together. I'm going to disciple those knuckleheads, and I'm going to stay with them through the thick and the thin, even when I get frustrated, and I'm going to be really intimate with three of them. Jesus modeled that. And then the church has modeled that ever since. But somehow or another, in great old America, we just think that doesn't apply to us. Obey your spiritual leaders. Submit to them and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Listen to this. This is what most people do not know. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit. Let me tell you about preachers right now. This may not mean anything to you. Preachers rejoice when the people of God do what they're supposed to do. But you know what they do when people don't do? They have sorrow and grief and depression and heartache and misery because their heart won't release them to not tell God's people what they want, even though it's not always the easiest thing to do. God is in to you discovering your purpose. But I'll tell you this, you cannot discover your purpose on your own. You cannot. You cannot do it. God has a purpose for you. He really does. And He really does want you fulfilled. But more than that, it's not about me and you. It's about giving out. Giving out. Giving out. Give of yourself. Well, it's uncomfortable. Give of yourself. I don't feel comfortable in Christ. Give of yourself. Go on and do it anyway. Look for the enablement of God's grace. I think you understand where I'm coming from today. Please, beloved, don't rob the body of Christ of what you have to offer. Amen.